this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about why so many actors struggle trying to make what's happening in the scene more important than their acting, and why it's so important that they do. I'll explain. Before I get started today, I'd like to remind you all to please hit the subscribe button. Also, as a reminder to all of you in Vancouver and Toronto, I will be returning there for a few weekends of training in February. If you're interested in attending one of the classes or weekend seminars, please contact me at jeff@reallifeactor.com. I tell actors frequently, when you care more about what's happening in the scene than you do your acting and getting it right, you will really begin to succeed. I think most of you listening to this would think, yeah, of course, yes, I care more about what's going on in the scene than my acting. I mean, that's our job. That's the thing, right? We are supposed to portray people in real situations, you know, incurring actual things that have consequence. And so these people that we portray, of course they care about what's going on. It's their life. So of course, me as that provider of said character will absolutely make the thing in the scene more important than my acting. Of course. It goes without saying. Yeah, but here's the problem. I think the way that acting, traditional acting, asks you to pursue this mission, it is fraught with things that actually betray that noble concept of making the thing in the scene more important than your acting. I think the mechanics of how traditional acting works betrays that noble mission. If we honestly were going to say, hey, you know, the thing that's happening in the scene is definitely going to be the thing I'm going to make more important than anything else, I think if you thought about it, most of you would think, yeah, yes, that makes perfect sense. That would be nirvana. That's the thing we're trying to do. We're trying to actually do that as authentically as we can. That is what we want. So if suddenly you're playing the part of some activist who has had it with some sort of climate denying or wiping out dolphins or the environment or, you know, clear-cutting forests at alarming rates, and you were playing the part of that character going in and now arguing before some sort of council or agency, and you really had to win your points, you really had to make sense out of what you were saying. If that is the part that you were going to be playing, and that beyond the shadow of a doubt, here, your character's passion for what you are saying is the thing that's supposed to carry the day, I want you to think about how traditional acting would have you prepare for that, and how you would prepare for that if it actually were something you suddenly were doing. When we approach the work in the traditional sense, there's always something about these traditional ways of working that involves some sort of exercise or breakdown or delineation or something that is never what is done in life. And you've heard me talk about it many times, whether we're breaking what we're going to say down into beats, whether we're going to, you know, be focusing on some action verbs, whether or not we're going to be thinking simultaneously of secondary, tertiary objectives, any sort of any added anything, coloration, substitution, whatever you want to call it, any of these things that have been theoretically designed to be able to enhance and lift our work up and make it something more poignant, make it something better communicated, make it something that has more impact. I think we could all agree that certainly in theory, that's what all of these things were designed for. And so it would stand to reason that the person doing the fictional account of this the scene that I've laid out would, of course, attack their work that way. So we're looking dutifully for a way in. And so we do our breakdowns and we try and find the right, you know, bits of spice we're going to add at the exact right moment. You know, what we're doing is we're trying to figure out a way to present the material in a way that would make people believe that indeed we were the thing that we said we were. I mean, that's really what traditional acting is having you do. It has you doing nothing else. I mean, that's what's happening, right? Because what you're doing is you're using these tools in order to present the image of the person that we're supposed to be serving up. This very passionate, intelligent activist who really, really knows you know, your stuff. You really know your stuff. That's the thing. That's the thing that's going to win the day. No one argues that's what we're looking for. With traditional acting, what the actor does then is with all of these tools, we try and figure out what it's going to be. And we do our lines and we do our lines in a way where, you know, we keep trying to find that truth. We keep trying to find that sound, that noise, that thing that it is when it is, then we hear it. And my problem with it is that in real life, the person presenting the exact same situation, same scene, you know, we can almost say the same lines really, would never do any of that. They would be spending just as much time, but the time they'd be spending was really on something else. It would not be anything as trite as the cadence that they were going to speak, you know, how they would say the line exactly, where they might plan a little bit of irritation or agitation, where they might, you know, get kind of sad or remorseful. You know, they would, of course, the human being would never do that. I'm not saying you couldn't pull it off, but I'm saying in real life, you wouldn't even consider doing any of this stuff at all, ever. First of all, because you would know you'd never need to. I mean, that's the only reason we don't prepare the same way in real life, is that we know we don't need to. It's not like we don't like homework or we don't like to go into very important situations prepared. Oh my goodness, of course, you know, life is for keeps. Of course, we try our best, we do our best, and many of us aren't lazy. And so if there was something, you know, extra credit that we could do in order to ensure, then of course we would do those things. But we know we never need to. So let's get back to our sample. On one side, we have the person who is working night and day, even with props, certain glasses maybe they'll have on, and then they'll take off at this moment, at that moment. Let's try, where's this kind of shirt? Maybe it's, it's got the shirt, it's got a collar, one button down, two buttons, no, two buttons, not too much, one button, you know. We'd be focusing on all this, looking in the mirror, trying to figure out the look, the way that it comes across. How will I be convincing as this person? I mean, listen, you know, not to cheapen the idea of the work or, you know, what traditional methods are or ways a lot of actors approach the work. I don't mean to do that at all. I'm just stating a fact. That's just how it's done. I mean, you all know that. Of course, that's what we do. That's how it's done. I'm just saying it's not necessarily the best way to approach something. That's all. It's just what has become very natural, what has become very normal, and I'm trying to present these new ideas because not only do I think they make just, you know, solid sense, but I think that they actually allow the actor so much more freedom and artistry, really. It's really a perspective. It's the way that we look at the work. one without realizing it is immediately cheapening what you're doing, because you're planning for minutiae that no person, the person that you're trying to portray, this noble person who really knows, you know, their business and is really passionate, honestly, authentically about what it is, you know, that person would never, ever, ever, ever do something as cheap, as shallow as working out how they were going to say all of these things. And since it would never be what that person would do, how do you think we get away with it as the actor? Well, some do, but most don't. Because the fact is, you know, especially with the way that people want to see acting these days, it's not really hard to figure out when you're watching somebody whether or not they really, really care about what they're talking about, or they're just kind of fake caring. And I know there's some actors out there who are really brilliant at the fake caring business, but the fact is there's just nothing as authentic as someone who actually cares about what they're talking about. So what does the person, the real-life person on the other side there who knows that they're going to be going in front of this tribunal, this set of people, this agency, and make this great argument, what would that person be spending time doing, trying to get that real-life situation that has way more consequences than, of course, the little movie one we're making on the other side? This is the real deal. This is saving forests. This is saving animals. This is saving the environment. This is something more important than, you know, whether or not we get our little movie right. Isn't it funny how that person would never do any of the things the actor would do, would never even consider it, not for a second? You may go over and over and over a speech, but you know what you'd be going over every time was the sense in what you were saying and the strength of the argument, the brilliance of the argument, but you know, never the way you said it. I'll be honest, I want you to think about that. In real life, if you were going through your speech that you were actually going to be giving in front of, you know, people, this is not an acceptance speech. This is something you're going to be saying in order to win a case. You really would never focus on the way you were exactly going to say it. No, you would be focusing the whole time on the truth, the authenticity in what you say, the common sense, the undeniable fact that you were laying out for these people, and your focus would be so much on that, on the truth of your argument, on the fact that you simply believe what you're saying because you know it to be the truth. Those things that drive us in life, to trust that your acting can be driven the same way, and that if you don't worry about the exact way you're going to sing your little lines so that we hopefully won't notice you're full of shit, if you would just not think about that as much and more about the strength of your argument, what you are arguing, the belief system that you presently have and what that is, if you would focus more on that than the other, you know, the other takes care of itself. It's done. It's something you never focus on. Yet if you go the other way, it's always this like dance you're doing where you're hoping no one's going to notice and you keep trying to get it all right because you did all this really like meticulous work about a lot of nonsense that no human being would ever go over. So you see, when I tell you that you need to make what's going on in the scene more important than your acting, well, unfortunately, you're never really honestly going to arrive at that if you go there with the typical journey an actor makes, because you've already admitted you don't care enough about what's going on in the scene as much as you do about your acting, because the first thing you're focusing on is your acting. You've made your acting the number one thing. You've sat down to work it out and you're breaking it down, and these are all acting things. And any acting jargon, any acting lines, anything that you do that a human being doesn't, when going over what they need to make an argument over, discuss, get a point across, whatever you're doing that a human being isn't doing, you see, is an acting thing. So naturally, you are starting off your work by saying, my acting is more important than all these points. Now, some of you may be resisting this. You may go, no. You see, that's not exactly what's happening. What's happening is I'm trying to get a foundation of behavior so then I can understand the la-di-da-di-da of the duty. Yes, yeah, I get all that. But my question is, why do you got to go through that exercise again? I don't get it. Why do you need to go through stuff and work on stuff that a human never does? Why do you need to do that? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that if you know your material, if you understand your subject matter, if you know the details and have decided why you're right and the other people are wrong, you think that when you get to that moment, you're not just going to be able to speak the line with an intonation that carries that feeling? You've got to work it out beforehand. Again, then, I would say to you, how do you get through life then? Because life, it's like live, right? I mean, I know it is in my life. It's like a one-shot deal. I go down the street. I go to get the coffee. I talk to the people. It's one continuous take. There's no edits. I don't get to go back at all, ever. I don't. And I don't get to practice, really, because I don't really know what the barista's going to say to me exactly, so I can't have my line perfect. So I just, crazy as it sounds, I just wing it. And I go into situations and arguments and the worst situations of my life, the most tense, the most dramatic, and I never, ever plan how I'm going to say the thing I'm going to say. I know what I'm going to say, mostly. I might have an inkling. But I never practice this stuff exactly. If you ever wonder what you need to do or how you would need to prepare, I would just ask you to ask yourself over and over again, how would a human being prepare for a scene like this? Whatever these things are, and however I would discuss them and discourse on them in life with my friends, is really what I would focus on as an actor. Discuss what's going on in the scene. What is that? What does he mean by that? Where's that place? Who's this lady? What happened on that night? How did you feel about it? Well, why did you think that shouldn't have happened that way? Why did that guy do that? And without ever speaking like an actor, but like a human being, prepare yourself. You see, each time the activist in the real-life situation went over what they probably were going to say, in other words, some big monologues perhaps, certainly they would go through it and they would intonate it. But, the entire time that you're doing it, when you're doing something like that in real life, when you're discussing the thing that you're going to be discussing almost in the exact same words with a person that you know you're going to be discussing it with, we're never really focused on the exact intonation. We're focused more on the intonation of what we're saying, of what it means, of the point we're making, of why we're making the point. We're constantly, when we're going over it, whether it's by ourselves or with a friend, we're trying to land on the truth, the righteousness, the correctness of what we're saying. It's never the music, the exact thing that we're going to do. It is impossible to make the thing in the scene more important than your acting when the way that you're arriving at that important thing in the scene is by way of acting. It undermines and cheapens it right off the bat. People fall in love, without meaning to, with the way they say something, I've discussed it much. I keep hearing the same thing. It's the same intonation, as if there's only one way to say that line. And so, really without meaning to, here we are. It's the fourth time we're doing the scene. Every time the scene, you're doing that line the same way. It's like that's the meaning of the line. That's how you say that line. That is a very, very tight space to put yourself in as an actor because it doesn't offer you the latitude of spontaneity. of really the actual moment-to-moment work that, you know, we all aspire to do, but in truth means it's really from moment to moment. I know how I feel about everything. I know what I have to say, but I'm not going to worry about it coming out this exact way. You know, I was just working with a friend on a big audition he had, you know, a couple of scenes, really dialogue heavy. And I knew that when I was working with him on it, that he was starting to stick to a certain way he was saying it. And so I'm trying to break them out of that rhythm because I know that what's going on is they're starting to think, the actor's starting to think, this is how you do the scene. And that means that when you take that into the room, when you go into audition with that, you see, without realizing it, you're making your acting more important than what's going on in the scene because now you're trying to hit this little acting mark you've set for yourself. This is how I think I'm going to do it. And you see that right there supersedes what's going on in the scene. Now, you didn't mean to do it, but that's what happened, you see. That's when the actor stops really speaking through their lines and they're just kind of chucking these beautiful little renditions they've already kind of worked out. They're just kind of chucking them, just kind of tossing them over at the other person. You see, this is what I kind of worked out. You know, if they do it really well, we don't really notice that it was all prepackaged, but it honestly never compare with the person who is in real time just servicing the lines with their instinct and intuition. There's no comparison, and the latter is really what is wanted today. At one point, just to get him loose, because I was actually going to be in town over where he was going to be going into a studio for this, I said, hey, I'll meet you there on the day, and I'll run lines with you one last time. So what I did, because no one was around, we were on some side street, is I opened his car door while he sat in the driver's seat, and then I stood back about 3 or 4 feet and had the scene with him. Now with, you know, one arm up on the steering wheel, and you can imagine him kind of ducked down because I'm a little taller and he's having to look down and up at me, and I'm away from the car, so he's having to kind of bark his lines out. Everything changed for him. You see, he couldn't even get close to doing what we were doing when we were just in a room together. Yet, of course, his authenticity, I felt like he was really speaking to me, that he was really speaking through his lines. What it did was it made him remember again, it's not about the way you're saying it. It's not about all these other thoughts. It's about you connecting these real thoughts in any situation that you happen to be in. And so here, he had to speak up, his body lay, he's in a car, I'm outside on the street. It just naturally changed everything. But what it can never change is the point of what the discussion's about. Because in real life, you could have this discussion doing this in a car or in a field or on a swing set. You could have the discussion anywhere, and each of them would slightly change just by the physicality of the setup or where it was you happened to be, restaurant or, you know, on a roof somewhere. The point being, if you know what you're talking about, if you understand your point of view and what's going on, if the thing in the scene truly means more to you than getting your acting right, your intonation, the way you come across, your authenticity will always be on the mark. All right, that's what I have for you today. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.